You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at ReadyMadeResources.com.
I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my interview with Pastor Carl Gallops. Enjoy the show. Pastor Gallops, you've written a book called Be Thou Prepared. A common thing you'll hear, or it's a common thing that I've heard being in the preparedness industry myself and trying to help spread the word and amongst other believers, is that we shouldn't really worry about that stuff. Rather, we should just simply have faith. But Noah, he's actually listed in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, but his faith pushed him into action. Does prepping indicate a lack of faith, or could it actually be a sign of faith in action?
Yeah, if prepping indicates a lack of faith, then Noah and Joseph and Jesus himself had a lack of faith. Oh, what do I mean? Well, you just gave the illustration of Noah. He's the world's first and world's biggest and world's greatest prepper. I mean, brother, he built a battleship-sized boat, filled it full of animals and food and water and his family, shut and sealed it, and survived the flood, the worldwide flood. Why? He knew it was coming. What did he do? He prepped bigger than anybody in the planet has ever prepped before. Why'd I say Joseph? Well, God revealed to him in a dream, there's getting ready to be a famine. Start preparing. Go to Pharaoh. Start storing up grain. Joseph could have said, Lord, I'm just going to have faith in you. I'm not going to do anything. Noah could have said, you know what? It's a lack of faith for me to build a ship. I'm just going to sit here and you'll swoop down out of the sky and take care of me at the last second. Jesus, you say, well, how's he a prepper? Well, I mean, he encouraged his disciples to be continually. And at the very end in the garden, he said, look, you know, you might want to sell your cloak and buy a sword. And by the way, if we put that into today's vernacular, he would have been saying, go sell some of your best Nikes and your designer jeans and go get a Glock. You know, you're not going to fight a war. You're not going to overthrow a government. But evil days are coming. You're going to need to protect yourself and your family. Perhaps go get a Glock, even if you have to sell your Nikes. That's what Jesus was telling his disciples, if we put it in our modern term. Now, Peter spoke up and said, well, we got three swords here. And Jesus probably smiled, but the Bible says he looked at him and said, that's enough. And you know, what's he saying? He's saying, look, be prepared. Be rationally prepared, but don't be stupid either. You're living in dangerous time, men, is what Jesus told him. He said, be prepared to protect the innocent ones around you. Be prepared to protect your own life if you have an opportunity to do so. So, Mark, when people tell me, well, I'm just going to live by faith, what they think they're doing, they think they're just rattling off some platitude they heard somebody else say. And I know people are screaming at the radio right now saying, wait a minute, the Bible says live by faith. Oh, I get that. Oh, I know. I mean, listen, we're not guaranteed another heartbeat. We're not guaranteed another breath. I mean, we could have a semi truck run through a stop sign today and kill us. So, yeah, life is lived by faith. The Bible is clear about that. I get it. I am a man of faith. But the same Bible also tells us that the fool sees danger coming and does nothing and is swept away by it. But the wise man sees danger coming and takes action and prepares. So that same Bible that says live by faith also says use the sense God gave you. So when people say to me, well, I'm just going to live by faith. And I ask them, I said, what does that mean? Well, I'm not going to prepare. God will take care of me. And I say, okay, let's analyze that. So in the day that disaster comes, and it could be natural disaster, a hurricane, an earthquake, a tornado, fire, flood. In the day that disaster comes, God's going to take care of you. Okay, how's that going to happen? More than likely through other people. Well, that means they prepared. So in other words, in that day, you're going to become a parasite. And then you're going to say, God did it for you. Because other people prepared and took care of your sorry rear end when you wouldn't prepare. What does it mean? I'm going to live by faith. God will provide. Well, I get it. If we store up food and right on the day of disaster, our house burns down and all the food's gone. Well, of course, then we look to the hand of God and he does provide, maybe through a neighbor or through some other means, or we may look in our backyard and see manna from heaven and quail. I mean, he did that for the children of Israel. I get that. But on a day-to-day basis in a normal life of mowing the grass and paying the bills and walking by faith, we are also told, prepare for tough times, because tough times come to every generation. And don't sit around waiting for a handout and say that somehow God's providing, because it comes through people who did prepare. And the other thing I tell people, Mark, is when they say, well, I'm not going to prepare. I'm just going to trust in God because I'm so spiritual. And I say to them, okay, let's see how spiritual you are. Get rid of all of your insurance right now. Just trust in God. By the way, take all the fire extinguishers out of your home. Just trust in God. Take your burglar alarm system off. Just trust in God. Keep the keys in your car at night in your driveway. Just trust in God. By the way, don't go grocery shopping anymore. You know what grocery shopping is? It's prepping. What are you doing when you grocery shop? You're storing up food for a few days or a few weeks or a few months. Why? To feed your family. Yeah, but that's not an emergency. Oh, I think if you don't eat, you're going to be in an emergency situation, right? So you go to the store to do what? To prep. To prep what? For meals. So if you're going to trust in God, just quit going to the grocery store. I mean, your food will show up on your front step. It'll fall out of heaven. Just quit going. You know, I could go on and on with these illustrations. Quit brushing your teeth. God will provide. You know, don't take your children to the hospital when they have the flu and they're about to die. Just trust in God, you know, everything. I mean, God will provide everything, right? I mean, all we have to do is sit at our house and play chess all day and read books, and God will just provide everything else. Or does the Bible say, get out there, live your life, be productive, use the sense God gave you, prepare for your daily life, prepare for emergencies, but in the midst of it all, understand all of our provision comes from the hand of God. We walk by faith day by day because we're not guaranteed another day of life. That's the way I look at it, Mark. That's how I live my life. That's how I encourage others to live their life. I hope that helps your listeners.
It absolutely does. And one of the reasons we'll also hear often that folks don't see the need to prepare is because they are eschatologically they're pre-tribbers, which I can see some evidence of, and I believe in the possibility of a pre-trib rapture. I think that Jesus could return at any moment. I also see some good evidence for perhaps a mid-trib. I'm pan-trib, which means that I think it'll all pan out when Jesus gets back. But I would say there's probably still some people that are still holding on to their pre-tribulation beliefs that live in Houston or Puerto Rico or perhaps the Keys, and God didn't get them out before bad stuff happened in those areas. So we'll typically get a few new listeners after a string of disasters like that. And can you provide them with a good starting point for preparedness? What's the best first step?
Yeah. Whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, by the way, for the first 300 years, all of the early church fathers were post-trib. And you got to remember, most of them were connected to the first generation, which means they were connected to the disciples, which means they sat at the feet of Jesus. So for the first 300 years, the United States of America has only been a nation for 270 years, if that gives you perspective. For the first 300 years, the entire church was post-trib, which is historic premillennialism. Now, I'm not dogmatic about that, but that's where I stand because I stand with the church fathers, the ones that sat at the feet of Jesus. So anyway, I think I'm in good company there. But the bottom line is I leave room to be wrong. It could be pre-trib, could be mid-trib, could be post-trib. I don't break fellowship with any believer over eschatology. The Pharisees missed Jesus and hung him on a cross because he didn't fit their box and charts and graphs and maps. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to miss what God's going to do. People would make fun of you for saying pan-trib because that's become cliche-ish now, and they say that's lazy. That's just a way of just not looking at the scriptures and not coming on board a specific eschatology. But as a matter of fact, Mark, you are being extremely biblical when you say pan-trib, because what you're saying is it's in the hands of the Lord. We are supposed to be discerners of the times we live in, yes. We're supposed to know the seasons, yes. Israel's back. The Middle East is on fire. It's imploding, all the things I said before. Yes, we're supposed to do that. Jesus commands us to. But he also tells us nobody knows the day or the hour, and then we go from there. All right, now, back to your original question. So what do we have a word for preppers about the times we're living in? Yeah, so you say some people like are pre-tribbers and say, well, I don't prep because, you know, God's going to take us out. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that there's never going to be a hurricane where you live, or a tornado, or a fire, or a flood, or a civil uprising like in Ferguson, Missouri? I mean, does it mean that you're just going to be Andy of Mayberry and Father Knows Best for the rest of your life, for your children's life? What does that mean you're not going to be? God's going to take you out. Take you out what? From where? When? You say, well, from tribulation. Well, how bad does it have to be? Oh, they're going to be coming to kill us. Okay, how about our brothers and sisters in the Middle East that have been exterminated? How about the pre-tribbers that lived over there and watched their children and wives raped and beheaded and murdered before their eyes? And now you can hardly find a Christian or a Christian community anywhere in the Middle East right now. And most of them have been, have left the nation and have infiltrated into other nations. And the 40,000 orphan children had to be flown out, airlifted out to other parts of the world. What do you say to them? God's going to take care of us. Well, yes, God will take care of us, Mark. You know that. The scripture's clear. But just like the children of Israel, they went through tough times, just like Noah. He went through the most horrible days the world had ever seen until his day. But before God poured out his wrath, God lifted them up in the ark, took them out, just like Lot in the middle of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were living in the midst of pure filth. But before God destroyed it, he sent angels to get his children out. So, yes, ultimately we are going to be taken out. Ultimately we are going to be provided for. But in the midst of it, Mark, is life. And it is an act of, I think, stupidity to lean on any manner of eschatology, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, and say, because I believe this, I don't have to prepare for any tough times. The early church, my book, Be Thou Prepared, I go all the way back to the first century church. A lot of scriptures, a lot of illustrations from the first century. They had earthquakes, they had famines, they had disease, they had persecution, government persecution by executive order. They had people in the church that were losing their livelihoods, so they had to sell everything and take care of each other. They had to take up offerings. Paul had to go from church to church around the empire to take up offerings for the church back in Jerusalem. Because since they were living in Judea under Roman control, they were the first church. They were under intense persecution. Plus, there had been some famine in the land. People were losing their jobs. Their Jewish brethren were kicking them out of their families because they were believers in Jesus. I mean, this has gone on since the beginning, Mark. And I tell Christians, just because we've been living in Happy Days America for the last 50 years, please don't think that's how the rest of the world has lived or is living or will live. And maybe the United States won't live that way anymore if we're not careful. So, you know, brother, I could talk about this for hours. As you can tell, you've been gracious to let me talk a lot. But the bottom line is Christians had better wake up. American Christians, just because Starbucks is open and there's a football game on TV, does not mean that all is right with the world. It is not. In fact, we're even seeing in our football programs now that insanity is ripping through the institution that we thought we could sit down and unwind our minds and be entertained and take our mind off the world. We sit down in front of football now and we are faced with absolute abject insanity. So the world is spinning out of control, and Christians had better get a grip of the times we're living in, and they had better do some common sense biblical preparing.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, campingsurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at campingsurvival.com. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. Puerto Rico may be without power for up to 6 months. And, of course, no power means no credit cards, and it also means no ATMs. Some stores may open up for business as non-perishable items start to come back in on their shelves. But unless people had cash before the hurricane, they have no way to purchase goods. Do you think it's a good idea to keep a stash of physical money on hand for times of crisis?
Yeah. And again, you know, you could stash it somewhere, say in your house, and your house burns down or floods. I mean, I get it. That there's then that comes that faith in the Lord. But there are smart things to do. Stash some cash in various locations. I mean, I've done that. Nobody but my family knows where, and they'll never find it. And it's in various locations and in various zones of safety. But you know, even that doesn't get my faith is not in my stashed cash. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he also told me to use your brain, Carl. And so, yeah, we've stored up food. We've got some cash stashed. I've got weapons. I don't have an arsenal to dethrone the government. That's not my purpose. But I have enough to protect myself and my family. You know, I have medical supplies. I've got the proper tools, all the things that a good prepper should do. I do. But then ultimately, my faith is in the Lord. But you're right. So look at Puerto Rico. Okay? That wasn't the... I mean, that was not the final wrath of God. That was not the Antichrist and the tribulation. It was a hurricane. But it has now caused them to have to shelter in place for months. No gas, no food, you know, and if it does come, it comes back slowly. No water, you know, cash, ATMs doesn't work. So those that prepared all of a sudden now look like they're very smart. Whereas a few months ago they were being called conspiracy theorists and idiots and dum-dums, now they are the smartest people alive in Puerto Rico. So I just want the church to be the smartest people around when all hell breaks loose in the United States, and I pray it doesn't. I'm not a doomsdayer, but look, if you lived in Ferguson, Missouri a couple of years ago, all hell broke loose. They were taking their children to school. They were going to the daycare. They had plans that night to go out to eat and go to a party. But within seconds, their whole world was turned upside down. And many people were having to stay indoors and on their own property. They were carrying guns. They were having to shelter in place because they were burning the town down around them for weeks. And so if that could happen in Ferguson, Missouri, the heartland of America, why can't an entire island like Puerto Rico be devastated? Why can't an entire section of the United States by a volcano or an earthquake or a hurricane be devastated? Why can't it be that even Christians, yes, believers, lovers of Jesus, might have to shelter in place, and they might need some clean water and a week or two or a month or two of food? They might need a pistol with some bullets just to keep the rapists and murderers off of your children. I mean, people need to think about this, Mark. The church had better wake up. The happy days are over. You know, Happy Days television show. That stuff's over with. It's a new day. It's getting closer and closer to the return of the Lord. Again, I'm not a doomsdayer. I'm not a date setter. But I can see what's happening around me. And I know the timing of it all. We're 70 years the other side of the birth of Israel. So, yeah, that's that. I mean, people are just being unfaithful and unbiblical if they don't prepare.
And as you said at the beginning of the show, you were in law enforcement before getting into the ministry, and I'm sure you kept some type of a basic first aid kit for gunshot wounds. Can you give folks some type of a suggestion of what they should keep maybe in their car for active shooter situations or something like what we just saw in Las Vegas, and then maybe also some tips about what do you do? Do you hide? Do you run? Can you tell us the difference between a visual cover and physical cover and what to do in an active shooter situation like that?
Yeah, I know we've only got like 6 or 7 minutes left. And what you just asked are excellent questions. I could do an hour-long conference on it. So I'm just going to have to give a quick answer, and it's going to sound very elementary to your audience that knows that it's much deeper than all of this. But yeah, the quick answer is, look, yeah, we should have first aid kits. Listen, I tell people you should at least have the basic medications that you need. You know, I mean, how would you like to be, you know, without Tylenol and whatever else you need, Band-Aids, and for months and months. I mean, I people don't even think about that sometimes. But some people have medications they need, heart medicine, you know, et cetera, blood pressure medicine. What are you going to do if you can't get to the doctor or to the drugstore for months? I mean, it could happen. Ask Puerto Rico. What are you going to do? So now active shooter. I mean, good gracious. I mean, but so what do you need? Well, you need tourniquet material. You need bandage, heavy bandage material. You can get online, and I'm trying to save some time here. I'm looking at the clock. You can get online, and you can look at the kinds of things you would need for active shooter, but that could happen. And there are ways you can improvise. You can rip off clothing. You can use a belt for a tourniquet. I mean, I get all that. Shoestrings if you got them. But the bottom line is, you have got to think about these things. You got to talk with your family about places to meet. What if communication goes down? What if there's an EMP incident? I mean, North Korea is threatening that right now. Whether they can pull it off or not, we know other nations have that technology. You just a high altitude burst of a nuclear weapon, but the sun can cause an EMP effect as well. So, what do we do when everything goes down? What do we do when our computers go down? Our telephones go down? Our automobiles don't work because the computer systems are fried, and we're out on an interstate highway in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden, hundreds of cars come to a screeching halt. You've got nothing but swamps and woods around you. What are you going to do? And, you know, say, well, I'll wait for the emergency vehicles to get there. Well, they're not coming because they're down too. Well, I'll wait for my family to get here. How are they going to get there? Are they going to walk? How many hundreds of miles away are you? So we need to think about these things. I don't leave home in my car. I mean, I've got a first aid kit. I've got a bug out bag with some stuff. I've got some sheltering material. I've got some protein supplies and some water. I've got some ammunition and a small firearm because I carry other firearms with me anyway. So I think about those things. I just stick it in my trunk and I go. People say, well, are you paranoid? No. I'm just, you know, I'm going to survive. I'm going to take care of my family if God gives me the grace. People say, well, you know, you've got two or three guns in your car and stuff. What are you afraid of? My answer is nothing. I can tell you if everything hits the fan and you have nothing, you will be afraid. I'm not afraid. I will get on with life. I'll do what I have to do. So, you know, that's what I would tell people in the quick answer here, Mark. Again, I can do a conference on this for an hour and get into the details, but I'm looking at the clock and it's ticking away.
And let's go back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. Let's look at the epicenters of these latest disasters. Houston is the city where the lesbian mayor tried to subpoena the sermons of pastors before they were preached. Mexico City, it's the kidnapping capital of the world. In Key West, the gay pride flag flies just under the American flag at many establishments, and it's also the host of Fantasy Fest, which is basically a drunken orgy that would make Nero blush. Puerto Rico, it's one of the most well-known hotbeds for Santeria and witchcraft. And, of course, Vegas, the nickname is Sin City. Is there any correlation between these disasters and the wickedness that's going on in these cities?
Yeah, well, thank you, Mark. First of all, my answer is going to be yes and no, and I'm not walking the fence. But let me just say it like this. To see the correlations that you've just named, I've seen them too. They are amazing. So for people who have a spiritual discernment, that could cause a spiritual awakening, I mean, God can speak to us through those things. You know, it's just like Sodom and Gomorrah when fire rained down from heaven and covered it up, you know. People say, wow, that must have been a sign from God. Well, it sure was. As a matter of fact, that was prophesied, you know. So can these cause people to turn to the Lord? Can these things cause people to make correlations and connect dots and say, oh, my gosh, I need to get some things right? Absolutely. So on the yes side, there's all of that. You know, on the no side, I just simply mean like this. But look, all these things have always happened, and they will continue to happen. But here's the deal. People say, well, you know, are these signs from God? Is the world under judgment? Oh, look, the whole planet is fallen. The whole planet is under God's judgment. The whole planet is groaning in anticipation of the coming of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. We know that humankind fell in the garden, the whole creation fell. So all of this is a part of the natural, watch this, the natural outpouring of God's wrath. I mean, it is. I mean, the Bible says that. So on the one hand, I don't think we should take a singular event like, let's say, the hurricane devastates Miami, so it's God's judgment on the gays. Well, why isn't it God's judgment on the illegals that gather in Miami? Why isn't it God's judgment on the gamblers in Miami? Why isn't it God's judgment on the churches that are filled with hypocrisy in Miami? Why isn't, you know, so we go down the list. So, you know, what is it then, Carl? It's God's judgment on everything. It's just the fall, the creation is fallen because we chose through our ancient ancestors to spit in God's face. So there's that part of the equation too, Mark. So on the one hand, it's all a part of God's judgment and always has been since the fall. On the other hand, can you take these string of instances, like you said, look at the correlations and say, oh my gosh, I wonder if God's sending a message. Yes, he's always sending a message. Yes. And if it causes people to shake up and say, we need to come out of this sin, we need to repent, then praise God for it. I don't know if that makes any sense, Mark, but that's kind of, that's my biblical balanced view of it.
You mentioned Sodom, and I often think about Lot, and I wonder why he hung around in Sodom, especially after that whole kidnapping incident. I think I'd have probably got out of there. If you were a Christian and living in a city that was characterized by its sin, would you be considering getting out of there, maybe looking for other job opportunities in more rural places or more conservative places? Is that something that you would be thinking about?
Okay, yes and no. Now let me tell you what I mean. On the one hand, no, in that we are not called, we can't leave the world. Paul says, I'm not telling you not to ever associate with sinners, otherwise you'd have to leave this world. There's no place we can go where sin is not present, and in most cases, where sin does not abound. There's no place. We live in a fallen creation. All the people are fallen. The only ones that have any hope of any goodness and eternity are those under the blood of Jesus, those filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But even those, and I'm one of them, are not perfect people. So on the one hand, the answer is no. We minister in the midst of it. If we have to live in Sodom, we minister in the midst of it. If we have to live in Sin City, Las Vegas, we minister in the midst of it. Now, on the other hand, if God leads us, if we have the opportunity, if there's a place that's a little more sane, if we've got little children, if we feel like our ministry needs to be elsewhere, and then yes, that's perfectly acceptable. But look at me. I've been on the Gulf Coast for 31 years. I live 10 minutes from what is now called the Gay Riviera, Pensacola, Florida, the home of Pensacola NAS, the most beautiful beaches in the world. We have 4 or 5 times a year when homosexuals flood into our area from all over the world. They take over the beaches. They take over all the parks. They have all of their Sodom and Gomorrah celebrations. And what do you do? I mean, you know, I mean, I lived in New Orleans when I was in seminary, and we ministered in the midst of it. New Orleans is also nicknamed Sin City, Bourbon Street and Mardi Gras and all that. What do you do? Well, I just didn't participate in any of it, but I was associate pastor in a church, and I ministered and reached out and led people to Jesus all along, right in the midst of Sodom and Gomorrah. I didn't participate in anything, but I lived there. I did leave there, but I wasn't running from anything. I was answering another call of the Lord. It brought me to the Gulf Coast. When I moved here 31 years ago, it was Andy of Mayberry. Now it's called the Gay Riviera. So what do we do? Well, wherever you go, sin is going to be there, brother. So that's why my answer is yes and no. In other words, it just depends upon where you are in life, what you're doing, what your calling is, where God leads you. So if he leads missionaries into the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa, into the villages, guess what those villages are filled with? Witchcraft, voodoo, sexual perversion. Well, do we go or do we run from it? Well, we go. Why? Because that's why we're here. We're ambassadors for the kingdom of Jesus. And if he sends us, or if he tells us to stay, then we got to go or we got to stay. If he tells us to get out, it's time to get out. Like Lot, when the angel showed up, they said, okay, Lot, now it's time to get out. And Lot said, I'm with you. I got it. Let's go. But prior to that, you say, why didn't Lot leave? Well, you know, he, family, business, people, friends, neighbors, loved ones, just life. It's just life. But when it came time and God made it clear, Lot got out. So anyway, I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Very good, yes. Pastor Gallups, where can folks go to find your books and to follow your work?
Thanks. They can find out everything about me at myname.com. That's carlgallups.com, CarlGallups, carlgallups.com. And, of course, they'll see everything about my books there, my radio programs, all the media I do, television I'm on, articles I write, media articles that I'm in, but the church that I pastor, everything, videos by the thousands that we make answering biblical questions like you're asking. You can find it all there at carlgallups.com. Or you can go today to Amazon because my latest book, Gods and Thrones, is shipped today, right now. It will be in Kindle soon. It may not be there today, but it is going to be there soon. But the full-size paperback edition, hard paperback edition, is shipping out now, and it is going crazy. Listen, 1 month before it was available for shipping, it went to number 400 out of all 17 million books on Amazon, and then it went to number one in six different categories of bestseller on Amazon, and that was 1 month before its release. So God is really using this thing, Mark, and I pray that your listeners will get out there and get it and read it. They're going to want to share it. They're going to want to give it to their pastors and Sunday school teachers and people in the pew because it does wake you up to what's actually happening, Gods and Thrones.
Pastor Gallups, thanks so much for making time for us today.
Oh, thank you, Mark. It's an honor to be with you and your amazing audience. May the Lord bless you and keep you always.
The Days of Elijah, Book 3, Angel of the Abyss, is now available in paperback, Kindle, and audio edition. Everett and Courtney Carroll have endured to the midpoint of the Great Tribulation. The previous seal and trumpet judgments have left the planet in shambles, and the Western Hemisphere is nearly uninhabitable. The prophet Elijah gives Everett a special mission, which will give him a unique role in fulfilling end times prophecy. But he'll have to survive the coming cataclysms first. Angelo Luz breaks the treaty he made with the nations, declaring himself to be God. A plague of stinging locusts rises up from the smoke of the bottomless pit, and a 200 million man army of radical jihadists wages a holy war against humanity itself. Everett and Courtney's tribulations thus far have been a walk in the park compared to what's coming. Get your copy of The Days of Elijah, Book 3, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin from Amazon.com today.